Mahatma Gandhi never won the Nobel Peace Prize. That may well be the most glaring omission in the history of international recognition. But Gandhi has won a much greater award, the remembrance of his fellow man and the emulation of his high ideals in political action. It's a legacy that bonds the best leaders across barriers of distance and nationality. It is a living gift to the world. My guest is Kumari Anantan, a noted Indian writer and politician. Kumari Anantan, welcome to Dialogue.
Thank you.
It is an honor to have you here. It is a very interesting life that you lead. You are president of the Gandhi Forum and former president of the Tamil Nadu branch of the Indian National Congress. You're a man who writes both history and biography and fiction as well.
Yeah.
So this is very impressive. Let me make that my first question. You combine activity in both the intellectual and the political spheres of life. Is that very common in India?
Yes. Particularly Mahatma Gandhi himself has moved with the masses. He used to be called as the man of the masses.
Right.
Likewise, but he used to discuss problems with international figures also.
That is right.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. So intellectually, he was in some other altitude. Mm-hmm. When he comes to the ground level, he will link the problems of the masses to that level also. So some scientists bring the results of the lab to the land.
Uh-huh.
Likewise, mm-hmm. he used to have dialogues with intellectual giants, and after that, he will, gist of that will be taken to the masses also.
Right.
So he has been called as the masses of the leader.
And so he is one of the best examples yeah. of both ideas yeah. and action to
yes.
combine.
Yeah.
You know, that's a striking answer, and I appreciate that. And it's clear to me that you follow in his example
yeah. Yeah.
in what you do. I know that you... You are very strongly influenced by your father, were you not?
Yeah,
tell
yeah.
me about that.
Yeah, yeah. See, Mahatma Gandhi fought against the imperialists. Mm-hmm. At the same time, he wanted to give economical freedom to the ordinary people also.
Mm-hmm.
So he split his program into two. One is a direct action going against the rulers.
Right.
Another one is constructive program which will give employment and economic opportunity to the poor people. My father was asked by Gandhians under the leadership of Mahatma Gandhi to take up constructive program. So giving lessons to the ordinary villager mm. how to weave mm. and produce cloths. So my father had 18 khadi handlooms in my house.
Really?
And he produced khadi. And he taught this art to the ordinary villager, young people. At the age of 10, I used to go to village after village to collect the yarn and carried it on my head to my father. So my father showed me the way, nationalism and Gandhism. That brought me to the field of politics also. My father was a pioneer in that area, near Kanyakumari, which is the beginning of India, if I say.
Right.
Some people say it is the last tip of India.
You know, I must say, I am impressed as I speak to you by several things. First of all, your father sounds like a remarkable man.
Yes, thank you for the compliment. My father, who is in the heaven, will bless you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
It is also clear to me that your politics is an expression of your truest belief.
Yeah.
And you learned it literally. This I can see you as a little boy carrying this on your head.
Yeah.
From the ground up, so
yeah.
to speak.
Yeah.
Now, with that background, and I think anyone listening to us can see that you are a man who tries to put his principles into action. When you got involved in political action, formally, in Congress and so forth, what kinds of things did you do? Particularly, what kinds of policies and programs did you advance for the Tamil people and others?
At the age of 12, we people of my village used to collect before the temple to celebrate the temple festivals. Hmm. My father, that is, trained me in the art of speaking.
Hmm.
He used to call the weavers, that is, we heard 18 looms, so there may some 40 people will be there. So he will ask them to assemble and requested me and give me lessons how to speak to them. First to convince our people first.
Right.
Then go to the village temple. When they celebrate the festival, there will be a bigger crowd. So there I used to speak for some minutes. And I used to act in dramas also.
Really?
I wrote the drama and acted myself also. So I accustomed to the habit of convincing everybody there.
Right.
That was a ground on which now I am standing. That moved me towards that national politics also. Mahatma Gandhi wanted the liberation of Indian people. Actually, Mahatma Gandhi was treated as one among the poor people because he was wearing a loincloth only. That incident happened in Tamil Nadu only.
Really?
Mahatma Gandhi, when he was visiting Assam, first he thought of taking away all the other turban, this overcoat and the other thing. But when he visited Tamil Nadu, near a fence, some people were working. He got down from the car and asked them how much money they are getting for their labor. One lady came forward and told him, men having two annas and the ladies will have only one anna, half.
Right, have to pay.
How could you live with this one anna per day? They told that we will have not rice. We will mix a lot of water on the rice. Then there will be a bigger size pot. We will all drink that only with the small pieces of this and that. And he asked her, excuse me for asking, he told her, you are wearing a cloth which is very dirty. But one among the great saints of Tamil, a lady, namely Avvayar, has said, you must wear only clean cloths. Why can't you do it? If you don't have money to buy a new one,
right,
at least you must clean this and wear it.
Right.
But she told him, Mahatma, if I want to clean it, I must have some other sari to wear at that time. But I don't have. I am having only one.
Only one sari.
Only one sari. If I remove it, how can I, a lady, stand without anything on my body? That is the reason I am wearing this.
Right.
Then Mahatma thought, how could I have a turban? Then how could I have a overcoat?
Right.
The next day, when he was staying in one place, the place of one Kalyanji at Madurai, at 4 o'clock, he asked one of the volunteers to hold one corner of his dhoti, that is lungi,
right,
loincloth.
His loincloth.
And he measured only 4 yards. And he tore it apart. From that day, he swore that I will wear only this unless my people have more.
Tell me this, Kumari, because we hear here in the West, in addition to these wonderful stories that make us feel so good about the power of ideals, some other stories, though, about politics in India that are more disturbing. And these are the stories of ethnic violence, the stories of sectarian violence that break out from time to time. What is your sense of that kind of thing in India? Is it prevalent? Is it rare? What is its significance? What should we know about it?
Yeah. I can cite an incident also in the life of Mahatma Gandhi. There is a place called Kutralam, where a beautiful waterfalls is there. Beautiful waterfalls, mixed with so many herbal medicinal power, because it runs through a forest and a hill and touching all the herbs. So people believe that by taking a bath, they will get cured.
Right.
One day Gandhi went there to have the bath. Nearby village, a person came over there to give respect to Mahatma Gandhi. Mm. Mahatma Gandhi asked that man, "Let us go to the falls and we will have both a bath there." And he told Mahatma, "I am a Harijan."
That means a Harijan means the...
A Harijan means Dalit.
Right.
Dalit means... Mm-hmm. The upper caste people will not
the
touch them.
Untouchables.
The upper
right.
class people will
so
not...
So he told Mahatma Gandhi he was an untouchable. Right, okay.
Mahatma Gandhi was asking that untouchable man, mm-hmm. "Let us go to the falls and have a bath." Mm-hmm. When they neared that falls, that gentleman told Mahatma Gandhi, "Excuse me, I am not allowed to have bath in the falls." Mm. Mahatma immediately reacted, "You are a human being, I am a human being. If you are not allowed, I am in the same status. So I will not also have my bath." Mm. He was the only person who had not bath in that falls in India. So unless other people also have the same right, Mahatma Gandhi will not enjoy, though he was allowed at that time to take bath because right. of his birth. Mm-hmm. But his firm belief is nobody should be segregated because of their birth.
So that was a lesson in tolerance that he showed us by his personal example.
Yes.
His life, and particularly as you recount it to us here today, seems to me to be one lesson after another in how not just individuals, but how societies should conduct themselves. If you saw his example in operation everywhere, the world would be a much
here better. Also.
Here also, indeed.
Here also. Mm-hmm. I had the good opportunity of going to Atlanta, mm-hmm. where I had the very good opportunity of seeing King's Center, mm-hmm. Martin Luther King Jr. Center.
Right.
There on the approach road takes me to the statue of Mahatma. Then we went to the hall. There I could see a picture underneath. Martin Luther and his family were gathering for their dinner. The Mahatma Gandhi's portrait was there.
Right.
Actually, after seeing this center, I could feel the torch lit by Mahatma in India was carried over by Martin Luther King.
At this point, I must say, I've read one of your essays about this that you wrote about the influence of Mahatma Gandhi on Martin Luther King.
Yes.
And you make a number of remarkable points in that essay. For example, I recall you said, Martin Luther King himself said he felt his message was given to him by Christ, but that his method and the way that he would carry it out, he learned from Mahatma Gandhi.
Yes.
And implanted it.
Yeah.
Do you see other parallels in the lives of these two
men?
Yes,
so many. Mm-hmm. In 1959, Martin Luther King was in India. My good fortune took me there also, in Madurai, where he visited the Gandhi Museum. And he was in Rajghat, where the memorial of Mahatma Gandhi is kept. And so many incidents. See, in America, the segregation is so severe. In the bus, some first two or three rows were allotted only for whites. And when a lady, Rosa Parks, was sitting there, African American, she was asked by the driver to get up and give seats. But her feet were hurting because of some ailment. Mm-hmm. But that was the beginning of a big, that is, rally. And Martin Luther taken over that subject and fought and won. Mm-hmm. This happened in South Africa also.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
In South Africa, when Gandhi was there, that government at that time brought in an act saying any marriage sanctioned by other modes rather than the prevalent habit in South Africa are null and void. Then one girl asked, what will be the mother of position of a mother? Is it not the legal wife of my father? No. Then what? She's a concubine.
Hmm.
She loses her skin.
She loses her status as wife.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Status as a wife.
Mm-hmm.
Then Mahatma Gandhi took up this issue along with the Kasturiba, his wife, and they took out a march, big march, in which that 17-year-old girl, Thillaiyaadi Valliyammai, was also participating. The condition was in the prison so bad, she fell ill and she was thrown out of the jail. Because she could not keep there her, because she may die.
Right.
Then all the responsibility will be on the shoulders of the prison officers.
They did not want her to die in that prison.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So they hurriedly made her to get out of it. But she could not walk. She was carried to his house. And Mahatma Gandhi visited her and asked her, so you have suffered. If I announce another rally or another that is struggle, will you come? Mahatma, I am ready to lose for a noble cause.
Lose my life for a noble cause.
Lose my life for a noble cause. Then within a short period, she died. Mahatma and other Indians there erected a memorial there.
I want to ask you some more about the principles of Mahatma Gandhi as they apply to politics, but let me take one moment from our conversation to say that this is Dialogue, a presentation of the Woodrow Wilson Center. I'm George Liston, CA, and my guest is Kumari Anantand, a noted Indian writer and politician. When I say noted writer, Kumari, you have written everything from history to short stories. And novels and everything else. That's marvelous. One thing I know that you do in those writings is to preserve Tamil culture.
Yeah.
How important is that to you? And why is it important to preserve that?
Tamil culture says, if you read all the literature of Tamil, and we will find out one marvelous thing. That is, all human beings are equal. Whether they are in America, whether they are in Russia, whether they are in England, whether they are in Tamil Nadu. All the places are my place. All the men and women are my kinsmen, my relatives. This is the message Tamil culture gives to the world. It was written by one Kaniyan 2,000 years ago. So, the whole human being must have follow this dictum. There will be no religious war. There will be no caste war. No quarrel with another man. Love thy neighbor.
Love thy neighbor
is the message given by Jesus. So you must treat everybody your neighbor. You are not alone in the world. So we must take the whole world along with us. Because all the men and women living in this world are my relatives. That's the message Tamil culture gives to the world.
Well, that's a very important world lesson the world needs. Yes. There is no question of that. This gives me another question. Tamil culture tells us we are all brothers and sisters, and the world is one. And a few moments ago, you explained to us how Gandhi's messages of sacrifice were so important. What other messages, Kumari, would, for example, Gandhi want anyone active in politics to do? What are the kinds of things he would say the man or woman in politics must do?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness, okay.
When Gandhi was attacked by another Indian, the police wanted to charge that man with some criminal activities. But Mahatma said no. He will feel and he will correct himself. This message was taken by our revered Reverend Martin Luther King also. A woman
stabbed him.
Stabbed him with a letter opener with a knife of 9 inches. Went through his chest. He was taken to the hospital and 2 ribs were removed. Then only the knife was able to be taken out. But He pardoned her and asked the official, don't do anything against her, cure her. That was the message Martin Luther King could place in this field. Thereby, as I have said, the torch lit by Mahatma is taken by, carried over by Martin Luther King.
And that torch can also be passed along to each of us.
Exactly. Each of us. Mm-hmm. To the people who live in this planet.
Right.
And these people must take to their generation also.
Right.
Generations to come, this message of nonviolence, this message of forgiveness, which was taken from Jesus, as our revered Dr. Martin Luther King has said, the tactics followed in India is taken to America also. He liberated the people here.
Well said. I think all the people.
Yeah, all the people.
I think that is very true. Tell us a bit, Kumari, about the Gandhi Forum. What are its activities? What do you do?
See, I go to schools and colleges and speak there on Gandhi. As I have said already, a memory pillar was erected in one place. I have erected 13 more in different parts of Tamil Nadu, wherever Gandhi pronounced important messages to the people. Thereby, whenever people go there, they find the pillar and read it. Every week, we used to have a meeting under the auspices of this Gandhi Forum to the youngsters. And I produce television serial in which I am taking students from 8 years of old and teaching them how to speak on public platform in Tamil, oration in Tamil, in which I give samples, examples, anecdotes about Gandhi's. So people think, oh, this is only these things make a great man. He is called the father of the nation. So one father to rear up, he sacrifices a lot for a house. This father of the nation sacrificed everything for the nation. So sacrifice, forgiveness are the two pillars on which we can stand. I inculcate this idea in the minds of the youngsters through this Gandhi Forum.
That's marvelous. And you know, when you speak of training the young people also as orators, I'm reminded you were a young orator yourself.
Correct. It was told by my father too.
So you're passing on the lessons of your father in that way.
It started from my father,
right,
and it goes to the national father.
that's very well said. Very well said. Kumari, I have vastly enjoyed this opportunity to meet with you and learn of the Gandhi Forum, learn of your writings, learn of the power of the messages of Mahatma Gandhi as reflected in Martin Luther King and many others as well in this country and abroad. And you are a man who travels a great deal. Of course, we are right now in Washington.
Yeah.
You go to many other countries. Do you go to those countries to carry out the work of the Gandhi Forum, to make speeches? I mean, are your visits to spread the message of Gandhi?
One of the main purpose of my visiting other countries also is to spread the Tamil culture, and which shows that Gandhi is the embodiment of that culture. So both go together. So I touch this subject and give example from Gandhi's life. So people, happened recently, it is in history, so people believe it and they try to follow when I say something about it concrete by showing incidents in Gandhi's life,
right,
and how we were liberated and we live as a free nation. So that is, spreading the message of Mahatma is a main object of my going to country to country.
I'm very glad you came to this country with that message. And that, quite frankly, gives me a marvelous opportunity to ask you the concluding question of our conversation. This message is so important, and I think we both would agree on that, that for a world that is so troubled by conflict and war, it really does deserve the broadest kind of hearing and understanding. Do you have any particular plans or ideas about that? We talk a great deal about conflict prevention, stopping wars before they start. And it would seem to me the Gandhian ideal would be the best way to do that. Do you have any international conferences in mind or other kinds of things that would make this happen?
We must, because nonviolence is the only message Martin Luther King has said very effectively. There is no choice of selecting between existence and violence. You cannot exist yourself if violence is there. So living and nonviolence are the both things which will go together. So the message is, nonviolence policy will only solve the problems. Force will not solve the problem, because sword force or any other force is not equivalent to soul force.
Soul force.
Soul force, S-O-U-L, soul force, mm-hmm. is the greatest force in the world. Mm. It was shown by Jesus, and it has been followed by Mahatma. So let us all follow these principles of nonviolence, and we will have soul force which will solve everything. Only soul force will solve everything.
There is no other thing.
No
like
other
it.
Thing will solve the problems which the world even now faces.
That is a very powerful message. And Kumari, thank you so much for visiting us today to give it to us. And it's very interesting also that you are clearly someone who lives what he preaches.
I am very happy, extremely happy and grateful also for giving this opportunity to say a few words and Mahatma and Martin Luther King and the message the world needs now. Thank you very much.
You are very, very welcome. Thank you, Kumari. You have been listening to Dialogue. My guest today was Kumari Anantham, a noted Indian writer and politician. I'm George Liston C.A., producer and host of Dialogue. Our technical director is John Tyler. Our associate producer is Rachel Edmonds. Our production assistant is Yukiko Ko. And our audio engineer is Anthony Barber. Dialogue is a production of the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. Established by Congress in 1968, the center is our nation's official and living memorial to the 28th President of the United States, Woodrow Wilson.
To order a Dialogue program or for more information, contact us at 202-691-4146. You can also listen to Dialogue on the web at wilsoncenter.org/dialogue. Email us on America Online at radiodial@aol.com. That's RADIODIAL@AOL.com.